All right, and again, we're so excited to have Sister Clark speaking to us this morning. We all know who Sister Clark is. She is our pastor's wife, and Sister Clark doesn't really need that much of an introduction. And I say that, church, because we all recognize her as the great pastor's wife that she is, and we see her with eyes of love and respect. And we look forward to hearing her on every devotion that she offers us. And so, Sister Clark, I'm going to go ahead and give it over to you now.
Thank you, Brother Vic, and good morning, Truth Church, and happy 4th of July to you. Happy Independence Day. I'm feeling very patriotic today, and I don't know, my heart is just warmed in some ways, it's grieved in some ways, but down underlying everything, I'm just feeling patriotic, and I'm still proud to be an American. I know everything seems to be in turmoil, but I am still proud to be an American. Tomorrow morning, I want you to know that I felt earlier this week, I said, we need to have a patriotic presentation on Sunday morning. And so that we are going to do. We've kind of come up with some a few of our favorite anthems and songs that we sing that the choir will be presenting. And we're going to be having a slideshow, and thank you to Kinder for putting the songs together and Courtney for putting a slideshow together. And we will be honoring our veterans and our first responders. So if you fall into that category, we will be honoring you in the morning. And so if you could be there, that would be awesome. If you have somebody, a loved one or someone that's a veteran or a first responder, invite them to service tomorrow. We will be honoring them. My husband's going to talk in a little bit, but we will be having just one service in the morning tomorrow. And so make sure and come in the morning. I found some things that I would like to read. I'm going to read a little bit of history, and I'm going to read just a few little poems about the 4th of July or just about patriotism. It's been a long time since I've been in a history class, so I just enjoyed reading this, and it's the first 4th of July. It's a short version, so we don't have to, it won't take long. Today we celebrate the 4th of July with fireworks. Well, at least last year we did, and hopefully next year we will. Parades and barbecues. A national holiday, it marks an important date in U.S. history, July 4th, 1776. On this date, the Declaration of Independence was adopted. It was actually signed 2 days before that. Were there great celebrations on that historic day? The answer is no. No fireworks went off. No signing ceremony took place. What did happen on that historic day? On July 4th, 1776, the Second Continental Congress was meeting in Philadelphia. It debated whether to adopt the Declaration of Independence. The delegates came from the 13 states, no longer colonies. Thomas Jefferson, the author of the Declaration, was there. Not much else is known. The debate was closed to the public. No one wrote down what was said. Even the delegates' letters revealed nothing about it. The delegates voted to approve the Declaration. Only John Hancock, the president of Congress, signed it. No one else signed that day. Bells rang throughout Philadelphia. No other celebration took place. Congress had ordered American independence. Many struggles had led to the Declaration, and many battles lay ahead. The conflict that led to the Declaration began in 1763. In that year, Britain ended a war with France. Although the British won the war, it left them in debt. To help pay the cost of the war, the British Parliament passed the Stamp Act in 1765. This law called for stamps on all documents sold in the colonies. Americans had to buy the stamps from British tax collectors. The stamps raised the cost of everything printed, newspapers, legal documents, pamphlets, and even playing cards. Americans hated the Stamp Act. They considered themselves loyal citizens of Britain. They already paid taxes to their colonial legislatures. They had no representatives in Parliament, and yet Parliament was trying to tax them. This taxation violated what they considered their rights as British citizens. Many colonists protested the Stamp Act. Some rioted. Many adopted the slogan, "Taxation without representation is tyranny." Parliament repealed the Stamp Act, but it soon passed new taxes on paper, glass, and tea. Many colonists boycotted or refused to buy British goods. The British sent more troops to the colonies. In 1770, British troops in Boston fired on a crowd of angry protesters. 5 colonists died. This event was known as the Boston Massacre. It caused great anger against the British. Protests continued. In 1773, a group of Americans boarded British ships in Boston Harbor and dumped their cargo of tea into the water. This was called the Boston Tea Party. The British reacted with harsh new laws. In 1774, the First Continental Congress met in Philadelphia. The delegates sent a list of complaints to King George III. They agreed to continue boycotting British goods, and they decided to form militias in their cities and towns. In April 1775, British troops marched on Lexington, Massachusetts. Waiting for them were about 100 armed Americans. Shots were fired. More fighting took place that day at nearby Concord. The American Revolution had begun. Many Americans supported the revolution. They were called patriots. But many Americans were unsure. In January 1776, Thomas Paine published Common Sense, a pamphlet favoring independence. It helped win over many Americans to the patriot cause. On June 7, 1776, the Second Continental Congress met in Philadelphia. The delegates debated whether to break from Britain. Since the break seemed likely, they assigned a committee the job of writing an explanation of their decision. Thomas Jefferson was on the committee, and he did the writing. It took him 2 weeks. Then the committee presented the document to Congress. On July 4, 1776, Congress voted to adopt the Declaration of Independence. Overnight, a printer made many copies and sent them to the 13 states. People of all walks of life gathered to hear public readings of the Declaration. They heard the words that all men are created equal, and that everyone has the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. In New York, some listeners were so inspired, they tore down a statue of King George III. The revolutionary words were taking effect. Even so, some Americans opposed independence. They were called loyalists or Tories. Benjamin Franklin's own son, William, was a loyalist. He was the governor of New Jersey. He and his father grew apart and never got over it. Another loyalist governor, Thomas Hutchinson of Massachusetts, had been driven out of office and back to Britain in 1774. Tensions between patriots and loyalists remained high. In a ceremony on August 2nd, delegates signed the declaration. John Hancock, still the president of Congress, again signed first. His large signature is today a famous symbol of the American Revolution. The odds did not favor the Continental Army and the Patriots. About 2.5 million people lived in the 13 colonies in 1780. 1/5 of them were black slaves. 20% of the people were loyalists. America's population was small compared to Britain's 11 million. The British Army was better trained and better equipped. Of the American generals, the most famous was George Washington, the commander-in-chief. His army was defeated in New York, and it took a daring nighttime escape to prevent its capture. Washington rebounded with a surprise attack on the British in New Jersey. Washington led the army through the severe winter of 1777 and 78 in Valley Forge. He won battles and he lost battles. He was a great leader, but the odds favored the British. The situation changed at the Battle of Saratoga. In fall 1777, Patriots defeated the army of the British general John Burgoyne. Benjamin Franklin had been trying to persuade the French to help the Americans. After Saratoga, the French agreed and formed an alliance with the United States. With French troops fighting alongside Americans at Yorktown in 1781, the British surrendered. The war was over. The victory cost Americans more than 25,000 military deaths and another 25,000 wounded. The nation was independent. The words of the Declaration of Independence expressed the ideals of the United States. They inspired the courageous patriots who fought hard against great odds. They have also inspired Americans to live up to the words, "All men are created equal." The movements against slavery, for women's rights, and for civil rights all echoed its words. But these words have not just inspired Americans. They have inspired democratic movements around the globe. This is just a short version of the first July 4th, and it was interesting to me. I hope you just enjoyed hearing a little bit of history. Here's a little poem. It says, "America the beautiful, home of the brave and free, is threatened by an evil that we don't seem to see. We are one nation under God, guided by his loving light. But we'll be a nation without God if we don't stand and fight. We, the vast majority, must join hand in hand before the small minority takes God's name from our land. No matter our religion, we have a job to do. We must band together to defeat the ungodly few. God gave us freedom in this land to worship and to pray. How can we idly just sit by, watching it be taken away? There is a God in heaven. Let's not let his light go dim. How can he bless us from above if we won't acknowledge him? America is in trouble. They're turning from God." And these are just a few things that inspired me today. Here's a writing from a concerned American. "America, I am becoming concerned about you. You have taken the prayer out of our schools. A silent prayer never hurt anyone, but now you insist there be none. We can destroy our flag, the red, white, and blue, but we are not allowed to carry a Bible to school. You allow profane music with destructive lyrics, but at the mention of God's name, you go ballistic. You insist we teach our kids about sex education, but withhold from them the book of Revelations. You expound on the many virtues of diversity, but avoid the one good book that teaches charity. You are rewriting our history for posterity, paying homage to a lot of secular deities. But in your new book, there cannot be found any mention of the Sermon on the Mount. We are one nation under God, you say, but you do not want this to be displayed. In God we trust, to you has become dated, and your belief in the Bible has become jaded. I believe this great nation is going astray, that we are on a road going the wrong way. I hope you will change your sense of direction and return to our founding fathers' conception." Those were just a few things. So I'm troubled by all that is going on in our country. Through these last few months, I've had times of, fear for periodically, times of confusion. I've had times of frustration. This week, I really had a time of frustration when there was an order to not sing in church. And I was just, this is just crazy. But then I remember, God is in control of it all. When I heard no singing in church, I was driving and I called my husband and I talked to him and I said, "Babe, what about no singing in church?" He said, "We're going to sing in church. Paul and Silas sung in jail. Jesus is coming so soon. But that doesn't mean we just roll over and quit standing and fighting for our freedom. We have a hope. All the signs are pointing to his coming. I do not see how he can tarry much longer. But until he comes, we've got to keep fighting. And the most important fight is the fight of our faith. In 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. That's the fight that matters, the fight of our faith. Don't lose faith. Don't lose hope. Turn to the God of hope and the God of our faith. 2 Timothy 4:6 through 8 says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." We've got to look for his appearing. We've got to love his appearing. I have hope in knowing that he is in control, that he is getting ready to come and take us away. Thank God for the hope that we have in him. Keep standing, church. Keep fighting. It will be worth it all. There's a song, I don't remember all the words, my mom used to sing it. It says, "You can have a song in the night, in your heart." The enemy cannot take us our song away. Our song is in our heart. God bless you today. I love you all. Have a wonderful 4th of July, and we will see you in the morning. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Sister Clark. And we have someone who wants to say, someone special who wants to say something here in just a moment. Pastor Clark, can you hear me all right, sir?
Yes, I can hear you, Brother Vic.
Yes, I hear you loud and clear, Pastor.
All right. Church, I do want to say today that when my wife was speaking, it brought tears to my eyes, thinking about our nation and where we're at today. America's not perfect, but there's two Americas. There's a God-fearing portion of the country, and there is an ungodly portion. Just as in Israel today, there is secular Israel, and then there is a spiritual Israel. And so when you talk about America, you got to be sure and be clear on which America you're talking about. But we have been blessed to have traveled through the years to different countries in the world. And with all of America's problems, I'll never forget the feeling one time after being out of the country for a period of time and flying into New York City, of the patriotism and thankfulness for a country that's certainly not perfect, but has at least tried through the years to be a God-fearing nation in a general way. And so this 4th of July today has touched me deep, because we're in the midst of turmoil in our country. And we're seeing people want to rewrite our history and rip out sections of history that are history. They're there. I'm not against some changes, but it's going way, way, way too far. And so the greatest event that I can think of that goes even above the 4th of July for our nation is the Lord's Supper, communion, which we're going to be doing tomorrow morning. And we announced this on Wednesday night, and I want to encourage everyone to get in more prayer time before in the morning. And let's be expecting a great, great service. It's the greatest commemorative event that we can do. It goes above the independence of our nation, and that is what the Lord has done for us. What a privilege that we're going to have this time tomorrow to have communion. So we're only going to be having one service tomorrow, and that'll be tomorrow morning, and we won't be having service tomorrow night. But let's all come, and it's going to be a great day. There's going to be some commemorative things presented since it's the 4th of July, and then we're going to get into communion. So anyway, I do want to say I feel really, really deep about some things I'll be preaching on tomorrow. And I don't want this to come across because I'm preaching, but only because the Lord is in it. And that is that I know the Lord's going to speak to us through his word. And I'm only saying that because I feel such a confirmation. So God bless you. We love you. Enjoy this day today. And we will see you in the morning. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor Clark. And again, thank you, Sister Clark. And thank you, Sister Clark, for taking us into that great journey into our American history. Many of us love history, and I'm one of them. And what a treat it was to hear about the history of our great country and its fight for liberty. Sister Clark read a tremendous poem this morning, but I made a comment here of the verse that she read at the end in Timothy, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life." Praise God. Church, why don't we just thank God right now for the great words that we heard from Sister Clark this morning. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for this message of a good fight
thank
and
you,
of
Jesus.
Liberty,
thank
Lord,
you, Jesus.
That our country has fought, Lord, and we are in that fight
Fight,
Lord. We thank you for this anointing that we're feeling after our pastor's wife and our pastor spoke this morning, Lord Jesus. We ask you, Lord, to help us to be good soldiers, God, in your army, Lord God, and help us, Lord, to continue this good fight. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. With that said, church, we welcome everyone back tonight for our youth devotion that we'll be having tonight. Brother Sean and Brother Stephen are going to be helping us with that. So we'll see you back on this conference call at 7:15 p.m. God bless all of you and have a great 4th of July. Amen.